Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Hello everyone, I'm Adi Oladipo and welcome to a brand new TalkSport podcast, The Men's Room. Now look, in The Men's Room, anything goes within reason. We're going to talk about, you guess right, men, masculinity, sexuality, health, fatherhood, relationships, and so much more. Joining me on this wonderful journey is my co-host, Rory Jennings. How are you, Rory?
This is exciting, isn't it?
It's really exciting, isn't it?
I mean, I'm loving this setup that we have.
It's nice.
You've done some...
It's almost like a little den.
You're very good at the old interior decorating. You've done a great job here.
I do try. My ex wouldn't agree, but
I am a big fan. You've got a great eye for it.
Yeah.
You're like the Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen of the boxing. You're Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen of the boxing world.
Of the boxing world. Yeah. Yes, without the hair.
Some double cuffs on soon.
And some hair. This episode, we're going to talk about relationships, which I think is a fantastic episode to kick us off, just because we're on two different ends of the spectrum, you and I.
You're young-ish, free and single.
Yes, I am.
I'm withered, married.
Is that what marriage does to you?
Knackered.
Then I'll stay away from marriage then.
Knackered.
Yeah. How would you class your marriage, though? How long has it been? Where did you meet the missus, et cetera, et cetera?
So we got married in 2017. We got married in 2017 at Lord's Cricket Ground, the church on St. John's Wood roundabout, and then across
You're
for the
so
party.
Posh, aren't you? You're so
aspirationally
posh.
So, yeah. Certainly. not necessarily in reality. But yeah, we got married there in 2017. My daughter was born at the beginning of 2019.
Mm.
But yeah, it's been amazing.
Are you one of those people? You know, some people do not want to get married. No interest in it. They have aspirations to get married, but they have no like, I want to get... Were you one of those that like, I want to get married? It's my thing.
Do you know what? I've always felt like it would happen. Mm. I always felt like, you know, when you're a kid and you kind of go, well, when I'm older, I'll get married. It's kind of what you do. When I'm older, I'll have a kid. When I'm older, I'll...
Get a car, get a house.
Yeah. It's kind of like a rite of passage. I certainly saw it as that. But I wasn't clucking for it. You know those people, like I had a couple of mates who at 24 were adults, men, house mortgage. I wasn't that. I was a long way from that. I lived at my nan's till I was 28.
Jeez.
Yeah. I wasn't a particularly mature... I've never been mature for my... I've always been sort of slightly juvenile. And no, I wasn't. I was never the first to do anything.
Okay.
I was always like the last one to come along. But then when I met Victoria, my wife, it then all felt very natural and flowed fairly rapidly, I suppose. We met in 2013. She was my boss. She cougared me.
Was there any longer relationships before that?
There was one longer.
And you didn't think you want to get married to that person? Don't have to mention her name, but you never thought, like, okay, she's the one.
She was... No, probably not. Probably not. No, we were both very young.
Yeah.
We were both very young. We went out for about 10 years, but it was tempestuous. It was on and off, aggression, and like, you know, just in terms of volatile.
That describes my relationship.
It was a very good relationship. I wish her really well. Mm. She had a daughter like the whole time that we were together as well. I think I'd met her and she had a sort of 18-month-old kid.
Okay.
So
that's a lot to take on.
Yeah. As a youngster.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, she was a wonderful girl. I look back on that time that we had together really fondly, but it was never really going to end with what I have now, which is sort of a stable relationship and loving marriage.
Yeah. for me, with my ex, and you're funny because you mentioned your relationship being a bit, or the previous one being a bit, you know, hot-tempered sometimes. Mm. Mine was definitely that, but I enjoyed it in a weird way.
Yeah,
I felt like she tamed me because I was like very street.
Do you think it's this? Do you think when you're young, that sort of thing is relatively engaging and exciting and almost normal?
Mm.
I can't think of anything worse now. I can't think of anything worse than having a drunken argument. Oh. Well, with anyone, in fact. Yeah. But, but you know, sort of with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just can't
towards the end of my relationship with her, like, we were together 13 years, you know, and we were going to get into it. We might get her on the show one day, who knows? But we were together nearly 13 years. And I remember towards the end of a relationship, I would come home from work and hope she wasn't in.
Thinking,
yeah, you know, it's got to that stage where thinking, I don't want an argument. I don't want the noise and the drama. Please don't let me see the lights on when I turn the corner.
Yeah, see, I've never been in a relationship that. Like that. Yeah, also, I think our chances of getting her on now off the back of that sentence has taken a hit.
Well, there's a lot worse than that. I mean, come on.
No, do you know what? I've never been in a relationship like that. Potentially people have, maybe I have, but I'd be the one that they hoped wasn't in.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I've never been like that. But I've also never been in, which, you know what I'd describe my marriage as now?
Go on.
Easy. Like, she's my best mate, she's sensible. No, but genuinely, like, my previous girlfriend was wonderful for loads of things, and, you know, really good girl, and I certainly wish her well, but nothing about the relationship with it was easy. It was always hard work. It was always, like, part of that can be fun, but it was always quite difficult.
Is there not a part of it? How long have you been married? No,
been married since 2017.
How long have you been with her?
Since 2013.
Okay, 9 years.
Yeah.
It's a long time. Is there, be honest, we're honest with each other. Has there never been a part of you, no one's listening. Has there never been a part of you that's like, wish I was single?
Oh, no, I've never ever wished to be single since I've been with Victoria, genuinely. Mm. My life is so much better now.
Yeah.
Like my life, like she is so good for me. Everything, you know, I've got very lucky lately. Our friendship is a testament to that. This podcast is a testament
Works.
To that.
Works. Everything's got better.
It's all because of her, like genuinely, like my whole life elevated pretty much as we got married and as we had a child. Like everything got better. She's a stable influence, she's wonderful company, she's hilarious. I couldn't be happier.
One thing that surprises me about you and Victoria, and I feel like I know her, I've only ever seen her, I think, once, but I know her so much, you're polar opposites in your views on life.
I think that, I mean, Paula Abdul sang about that though, didn't she?
Did she?
Opposites attract. Do you not remember that cartoon with the video where the cat was dancing? Yeah. Two steps forward, one step back, we come together because opposites attract. No, we do definitely challenge one another, but I think that's quite healthy.
Mm.
I think that's quite healthy. Like Victoria and I can walk to the polling booth and vote a different way. We'll always vote.
Yeah.
Like but we kind of walk down to the polling booth and effectively cancel out each other's votes. Like we do look at life in a very different way.
Mm.
But I think that's quite good. I think part of an issue that you get now is you're not allowed to disagree with each other. Like you're not allowed to be friends with people who you disagree with. And I think it's weird. I genuinely do, because some of my best mates I disagree with on a lot of things. Like, look, we can use a relatively recent example. I was in Dublin recently with somebody who you obviously know and somebody who I think some of our viewers will have heard of. Adam McCullough does the Stretford Paddock, Manchester United fan, very well known in the YouTube space, on the kickoff and whatever. We're talking about the Europa League final. We couldn't disagree with each other more on what we want the outcome to be. Mm. And you know, obviously, because of the team that's playing, Glasgow Rangers, it comes down to loads of other things. It comes down to the way that maybe Adam views the royal family or whatever.
Yeah, beliefs.
So you disagree on... So I was desperate for Glasgow Rangers to win that game. He was desperate for them to lose. But he's still one of my best mates.
Mm.
And I think that's fine. I mean, you and I can do that. And I think it's fine. But there does seem to be this thing now. What do they call it? They call it an echo chamber, don't they? Where you basically only agree... And you're only friends with people that you agree with. And what you end up with is this really weird situation in your life where I think they call it false consensus. When you go, I can't believe that this happened because everyone I know doesn't think it's going to happen.
That's so interesting because, you know, when you think of relationships now, especially relationships that are formed or made from online dating apps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, a lot of those, you're looking for someone that almost shares the same view or shares the same things or does the same thing that you want to do.
Which isn't
always... So you're basically saying that it doesn't really work most times.
It doesn't work for me, but I don't think it... like Victoria, for example, if you think about, if you were to write down the things that you know I'm passionate about, you're now one of my best mates, you know me really well. Five things I like in life: drinking, football, playing cards. Victoria has no interest in any of the above, literally none. Like, Victoria could walk past Frank Lampard on the street, she wouldn't have a clue who he is. Genuinely not a clue.
Yeah.
And
you
some
know,
of her hobbies.
I used to get upset when my ex didn't like Liverpool.
Yes.
Yeah, and now it makes no sense. Now I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
But at the time, I used to be like, I'm watching Liverpool. You can see how passionate it is to me. Why is it not passionate to
but
you?
But if you were to go on a date, which obviously I've known you and you're not shy on the dating front.
What are you talking
about? If you were to do that, if the conversation started immediately around sport and a girl that you were out with just immediately shut that down and went, do you know what, Eddie? I like artists. Do you want to talk about artists? Maybe you don't have an encyclopedic knowledge on that. You're not close-minded enough to kind of think, well, we can't talk about how Steven Gerrard nearly won the league under Brendan Rodgers, so what's the point in being
100%,
here?
100%, but there was a time for me when I wanted them to share the same interests.
I think
I don't know.
But you do get the overlap as well. You'll always get... Yeah. In the Venn diagram, look, I've said Victoria's not interested in... She doesn't want to go to the pub. She doesn't want to go to Stamford Bridge. She wouldn't dream of going to an away game for Chelsea. Like, wouldn't dream of it. She thinks, you know, she thinks it's genuinely wild.
Yeah.
She goes, what are you up to? On a Tuesday afternoon, I go and have the afternoon off work and I'm going to Sunderland because Chelsea are playing in the League Cup. She goes, what? like, what? Do you know anyone playing? No, but they're 11 of my heroes. They're your heroes. Have you met them? No. Well, once, maybe. What do you mean? Like, are you being paid for this? No, I'm paying a lot. Like, she just can't.
See, when you say it like that, yeah.
It's unfathomable.
Makes no sense.
But look, we obviously have loads of shared interests as well. Because what happens is you go deeper than the superficial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to go to Stamford Bridge, but we bond over restaurants that we like, and we bond over various cocktails that we like, we bond over TV shows that we like and books that we read and whatever. So you go that level deeper, but you know that initial top line, which I think is dating apps. Like, I was married before dating apps came out, but that top line is I'm a football fan, I'm this, I'm that, I'm A, B and C, and then the girl really has to look at that and go, I'm A, B, C as well, and therefore you date. But I think it's sometimes misleading.
Yeah.
And you're closing off an entire crew, an entire sector of society who you could actually bond with so much.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting you said it, because I think there's a lot of people that close off a section of society due to race as well.
You mean in terms of, so for example,
in terms of your preference?
Yeah.
In terms of your preference. So for me growing up, it was, okay, I'm going to get married, it's going to be to a West African,
yeah,
preferably Nigerian.
But is that because you are sexually attracted to West African, preferably Nigerian women, or because?
No, I think it's family pressure and culture.
Right.
Because I'm still attracted to, you know, Caucasian women. I'm still attracted to Asian ladies. But I think my culture, I think most Nigerian guys, it's almost like you're forced down that road of you have to marry a Nigerian.
So if you were to marry a white girl, so someone I grew up with from Kilburn High Road.
Yeah.
White, probably Irish ancestry, if she's from that area.
It won't be easy getting through the family.
Say your family. Say, think about your immediates, your brother.
Yeah, brother.
He coming to that wedding?
Yeah. I think everyone's coming, but I do think, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, the conversation to the parents or to the wider family is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
So I think most people almost section themselves into, especially within Africa, most people will date not just an African, but date someone from
specific,
their country.
Specific.
And it gets so crazy in Nigeria, where you're dating someone from your village or in that area.
And does that translate to when people come to say the Nigerian community of London?
Yeah.
Do you still try and...
Oh, 100%. When I met my ex, the first thing my mum said
Nigerian?
Was, yeah. Was my first thing my mum said was, what's her surname?
Right.
That was the first question.
To see if she knows any aunties or
just
whatever.
From the surname, she knew what area of Nigeria she was.
Right.
She's like, oh, okay. Oh, what's said yet? That's her surname. And my mum was like, ooh, good. That ding,
eyes
light up.
Yeah,
like, wow, you know, he's not bringing a Jamaican.
And would you conform to that now?
No.
Right.
No. I think I was almost, and I wanted to as well, from a cultural standpoint, I don't mind it. But now, having been through that relationship and the pressures that it brings.
I can see why on some level, though, because you're going to connect with people who you have a cultural link to.
Yeah.
And that. Can I don't necessarily think it's always through race, because I could be culturally linked.
I think it's quite dangerous to do if, like myself and even my ex, we're British, we're born, we're, you know, brought up here.
Yeah.
So we, yes, we can connect with each other, but we can connect with millions of people as well.
Yeah, but you didn't, but now, obviously, you've had your moments, but now you would date anybody.
Right? Yeah, I think now I'd be open to dating people 100% from outside my race.
Well, from my very, you know, it's a straw poll of one here, but my limited experience, I've been married once. I'm from the city, passionate about being from the city, a proud Londoner, and never ever envisaged me not living in central London. Like, I saw people with an 0208 phone number when I was a kid as being from the sticks. Yeah. Like, from where? Acton? Sod that. Like, you know, West End kids. My wife is so countryside. Like, she doesn't really get London. You know, when, like, she thinks London's beautiful and she loves having easy access and she loves coming into London. She loves, you know, she works in Soho. But in terms of sort of living and the drudgery and the busyness and the hassle, she doesn't get it at all. But what I would say is, from my experience of doing this, I think it's great to have somebody with, like, differing opinions of it. Because otherwise, you're just marrying yourself. That's close to you?
Exactly it. I think you're marrying yourself. And I remember thinking, as I was going to get married, and, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, I didn't. I remember thinking, I'm marrying a whole family here, which is, I don't get me wrong, it's a good thing, but I thought, we are marrying each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to be on top of each other, and your mum, your dad, and we're all, like, one.
Yeah.
And there was no separation.
But, you know, but life generally, right, if you build that life and what's good about life down to, like, two bullet points, which is very difficult to do, but you say love, so that's the most important. And then maybe you go experiences. So marrying somebody different, like, which I did. Look, my wife's English, but she's from the northeast, countryside. Like, I've got so many different experiences simply from that. Like, I know so much about cows. Genuinely, I'm not joking.
About what?
Cows.
Like cows.
Like, right. Cows that stand, like, moo cows. Yeah. Okay. I know so much about them. Like, I could tell you so much about. I know the difference between a Hereford and a Herdwick. Oh, no, Herdwick's a sheep. I've done myself a disservice here, right? But I genuinely know loads about cows. Yeah. More than I should know about cows.
And that's coming from your missus?
Coming from, yeah. I've been on holiday to the Lake District. I know Lake District, like, back of my hand. I had no interest in going to the Lake District. Every holiday for me would have been, do you want to go to Ibiza? Do you want to go to Marbella? Maybe Dubai, New York. Like, that would be my experience.
So if
that
you were to have met you 15 years ago,
yeah,
would you be telling yourself 15 years ago, the best thing about you right now is marriage?
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. If you, I would say, look, no,
we're so different in the sense that I, in a sense, ran away from a wedding. I decided, you know what? I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't man enough for it. I couldn't handle the stress and the pressure.
Tony Braxton.
That's right. You've always got a song for every man. But generally, I thought I couldn't handle it. I remember at the time, so we got together in London. We started a business selling these type of chairs.
That glorious.
You see me sitting on right now.
It's such an anglicised business. It's like, crazy. Do you know what? I'm not. I hope this doesn't sort of reveal some sort of inner prejudice within me. And if it does, to anybody listening, I'm very sorry.
I know. I will
but
tell
if
you.
If I bought that chair and then it was being delivered it was being delivered to me, what are they called?
Chesterfield.
Okay, Chesterfield. Presumably that means they were made in Chesterfield.
Yes, sir.
Which is Yorkshire and as old English as it gets. If I ordered that chair, I would not be expecting you
with the tattoos. And the worst thing is, you got me, bald head, beard, tattoos. She's a dread.
Coming from Stratford,
yeah,
as well.
But both of us speak quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they would, you know, they'd answer the phone and would speak, and their surprise when they would not come through the door and see both of us was incredible.
Yeah, it's truly incredible. But do you know what's more of an enigma about you? With me, things got going right because I'm the stereotype in a way. I married a good girl, and you know, it's like, I think Mike Skinner says something in a street song. He goes, look, you get the love of a good girl and you'll be sweet. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I was a little bit off the rails. I didn't really know what I was doing. Had some relatively hairy moments and wonderful times, but some hairy moments. And then met Victoria and everything, you know, the trajectory just changed. You're quite an interesting one because you had the similar trajectory. Our stories aren't dissimilar, but there isn't the of, like, for me, no, for the, me girl, the girl me, did it the girl
yeah,
did
for
it
me,
to me
it's the other side. It's almost like coming away from that relationship, the embarrassment of calling off a wedding, which is the biggest embarrassment ever.
Did you? What did you do? Did you like do a Rachel Green in Friends and like jump out the window or something?
Pretty much.
And leave? Pretty did you
much.
Just run
it was
away?
Pretty much. Like
we've got to come on to. We need to do a whole episode dedicated.
We can skim over it now. So in Nigeria, everyone's getting ready for the wedding, and Nigerian weddings are very similar to Asian weddings, where it's the biggest thing in the world.
Oh my god! So people have flown in.
Oh, of course, people have flown in from Nigeria to the UK. It's not easy getting a visa from Nigeria to the UK. Spent money. The hall's been booked, so that's 10 grand. The food, the caterers, and a couple of months before that, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this. And I remember going to see her mum when I got back. That's a lie. I didn't go and see her mum. I spoke to her mum because I was too fearful. I'm not sure I can chick wimped out. And her mum was very much, you know, it's okay. These things happen. I'll see you in a couple of days. And I'm like, no. I'm not marrying your daughter. And then obviously it switched. The whole conversation switched. And I was like, it's the first time I've ever felt, and it's funny because me and you were just speaking off camera about the using the word man up. But that's when I honestly genuinely needed a father figure around just to kind of say, okay, look, we'll deal with this.
Oh my God.
Because then I'm like, mum, you need to speak to her mum. I can't deal with it. It got to that stage.
Is that
like,
what you did?
I did. I literally put it all on my mum. Like, mum, please speak
I'd
to her
I'd be very
mum.
Quick to call you a coward.
No, I was. No,
but,
no, no,
but
no.
I don't think it is cowardly because I think it's... Not this cowardly. Is, this is not, like... This is so flammable, isn't it?
Cowardly
you need help.
In terms of running away from a wedding. Because sometimes... But cowardly in the way in which I dealt with... Everyone who I've known for the best part
of 30
years.
Did you literally run
years.
Away? Did you just jump on a plane back to London?
Got on a plane.
While people are still there?
No. The wedding was supposed to be in London.
Oh, right.
The wedding was supposed to be in London. Right. So I got on a plane coming back to London. No wedding. I've cancelled everything. Oh. I even tried to go back to the hall because I was broke and asked for some money back.
I love that the finances were also fairly high on your list here.
Yeah, because I was thinking, wait a minute, I'm broke now.
I'm definitely breaking someone's heart, but I could do with a bit
of a
rebate.
A couple of quid.
I could do with a rebate.
They said no. What do you mean my friends do? Went to the hall and sat in there because we were like,
"What? I'm paying for this.
I'm paying for this. You're not using this hall for free. You're not using the hall for free. We're sitting in the hall.
I'm coming to the hall, man. I've paid for it. I'm coming.
But hardest decision ever.
What flipped then for you? Like, how did you go from that? Because look at you now. Look at where we are. Look at your
rock bottom.
Yeah,
rock bottom. You come back and there's nothing in it. Definitely went into a bit of depression. Honestly, because I'm getting phone calls from everyone. I'm getting phone calls from her friends, and rightly so. Yeah. Like, you effing blah, blah, blah. It starts nice, and then it gets bad, and then the texts come, and you've got to block a few people.
Yeah.
It just started to get really vile. Like, very.
It's painful.
Painful. And then, then I hit rock bottom, and then I was like, okay, what can you do?
It's impressive, though, because you've done it. With me, the credit doesn't really lie with it. To a degree, you share that we managed to kind of like get back to winning ways to a degree. But I just don't know how you managed to do it because you're single and then decided, right, I'm going to embark on a new career. I'm going to take a leap of faith into a world of YouTube where I don't really have any knowledge.
I give her a lot of credit. And I think she knows this now. We've started speaking again. And I remember all the things that she was saying I could do back then in terms of YouTube and broadcast, and I used to laugh at, like, shut up. When she's always said, no, you could do it yourself, you could do this, you could do
so
that.
So she does actually, at the very genesis of this journey for you, she is
present. She plays a massive part.
It's always a girl.
She plays a massive part.
It's always a girl.
You know when they say girls mature faster than guys? I used to laugh at that.
No,
it's a quibble, like, all nonsense.
So true.
It is so true.
Mate, they're always, at least with my, do you know when I think about doing something, like, immediately, often rash, do you know what I have to think? I have to think, okay, I'm going to do this, but before I do it, I'm just going to phone Victoria. Like, you know, if somebody does something, like a situation, whatever, if I don't like something, I can be very snappy and not always correct. I basically just think, I seek the counsel of my wife and the right answer will come.
Good.
They get it right.
Would you, and look, I, fingers crossed, you never ever leave Victoria. You know, you've got a wonderful kid, nice big house, you making loads of money, ain't you? If it were to ever come to a halt, would you ever go on a date?
No. I think I say this genuinely, right? I'd just be single.
Do you know how many, users are on Tinder?
How many people are on Tinder right now? In the UK or in worldwide? Because it's everywhere, isn't it? Good. It's got to be, loads. 100 million.
Okay, 76.
Million.
Million.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many that is?
Yeah.
Seeking love.
It's the journey, isn't it? What people...
And me as a single person, I think a lot of people would assume I'm on it. I just don't... Yeah. I can't do it.
I wonder how many of those 76 million you've slept with. But no, mate, I mean, yeah, people, it's the journey. I think
30%
it's,
are married.
For a lot, 30% are married.
30% on there are married.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. What does that say? You're married. What does that say about people in
It says
in
a lot of people have a lot more energy than I do. God.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Do you know, I couldn't think of anything worse than that. You know, like, I mean this, full, like, being as candid as I can possibly be, cards on the table. The idea of that.
Well, the idea of what, meeting someone
like
on
another,
an
app? You know when you hear people have other girlfriends and other lives? And
oh,
whatever,
even cheating.
Cheating or kind of playing the field a bit and like having more than one. I honestly just don't get it. I just don't see the buzz. I don't see how.
Have you never met someone though? You know. Obviously, look, again, you in Victoria like that, rock solid. But you've never met someone that's maybe turned your eye like, oh, hello.
No, I since I've been married, I honestly haven't, because I don't think I'm open to it. I think I also think I'm blind to it. Mm. Like, I was never great at the chat anyway. And I was also always convinced that nobody ever actually fancied me. I never think. Like, you know, if I did like someone and I was single, I'd be like, oh, she wouldn't anyway, kind of thing. Mm. That would be my approach.
You're not going to get any R's and
oohs. No, I don't need them now. I've got sex on tap now. I honestly don't get it. So you see that 30% that you're speaking about there, 30% of people on Tinder are married.
Clearly unhappy. Like, I remember in the first.
But I don't necessarily think it's as simple as that.
What is
I don't
it,
think it's as
just
simple.
Just a bit of spice.
Because I think a lot of. Yeah, I
mean,
think
don't say men.
Unhappiness.
Both. Yeah.
No, it's men.
You think?
It's men.
You think 30%. Well, 1 second. Do you think
29%.
29% men. You think it's that high, really? I wish there was a figure for
that. There's no. Mate, this is so men.
You'll be surprised.
Nah, I would be very surprised.
Yeah.
I also know nothing about what I'm talking about. Yeah. But
I've got three sisters. You'd be very surprised.
No way.
Not trying to say they do anything. I'm trying to say I have conversations with other girls a lot, and you'd be surprised.
No, there's no way that any. I'm not having that married. Tinder is this hotbed of married women looking for one night stands with men. That's not how the world
spins, man. You're not having that. You got these ladies that stay at home. Their men go away for business. They're bored. The men treat them like trash. You're not having that they can be sort of, you know, coerced into doing something.
No. I honestly don't think that. Look, I could be proved wrong, and maybe we can find the stats for this on another episode.
Yeah.
But I would say that the lion's share, by a ridiculous percentage,
will be men.
Yeah, men are bad.
Yeah, but men also are very stupid.
They're very stupid.
And do silly things.
They're very stupid. Mm. And they do very silly things. And it is a silly thing. The majority of the time when people cheat on their wife or husband, they regret it, which it implies that it's a silly mistake at the time.
I cheated early with my partner.
Did you?
Yeah, early in our relationship. Yeah, when I was still very much, like, I met when I was 24, 25, I was still doing silly things with friends. Yeah. And I didn't really take the relationship serious at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because
it would be very different for you. It would be very different for anybody. Cheating at 25 is very different to cheating at 35. And married with a child, or it's a very different journey, I think. But I would be surprised if there was a huge swathe of women coursing through Twitter looking for men available.
I've got another fact for you. Yeah,
come on,
this is interesting. A 2016 study revealed that those who use the app tend to be less happy with their looks. However, they believed only male users suffered lower levels of self-esteem.
But I think that might be true, because my mate is on, it was, he's now in a relationship with somebody that he didn't meet on the app. But he used to really make me laugh, because you often see this thing, like, for example, a man on there would have to be very careful what they say in terms of what they like. They'd have to be very respectful. But my mate used to send me these things, and it would be like, under 5'11" need not apply and all that.
Yes.
And you can just be out there. So I'd have no luck on there anyway.
Yeah.
Because if that's true, if the general consensus on Tinder is under 5'11" need not apply, just me on there, isn't it? It's me on my own. I think that could be true, because people can say very negative things
about
fellas.
So you think it's bad for, let's talk about males here, for their self-esteem?
I think the app generally is very bad for self-esteem because you're only being judged on your looks. Because it's photographs, isn't it? Mm. It's photographs and maybe a few words. Yeah. So like a social media profile. Mm. Yeah, I think it's a really bad thing for society. I find Instagram, and I imagine that it's a condition that's replicated on these dating apps.
It's pretty much that, isn't it?
I think it's damaging, man. I genuinely do. And I think because I'm a bit older and because I'm a father and because I've got a daughter and because I adore my wife and see how she approaches life and it's very a lot more tender than mine I would naturally be, I do think that there's a damaging culture. You know, all this Instagram stuff? Mm. Everybody acting like they're billionaires.
Yeah.
Everybody acting like they're glamorous as anything. Selfies and... Like, I'm so...
Photoshopped photos.
Yeah. I'm so anti that for my daughter.
Are we just too old?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I get called a boomer all the time. I think we probably are, yeah. I think young people listening to this would see the issue.
Like, I'd probably be their target market, right? 40 years old, single, ready to mingle.
Yeah, disposable income so you could pay the upgrade or whatever.
But I wouldn't even want to go for Tinder. It doesn't appeal to me. I don't appeal just to... Just the idea of swiping.
The only reason why it could appeal, and like, let's...
To who?
Easy. It's okay. Easy. Like dating is hard, and it's effort,
I know more
and
people that use Tinder as a sexual app than as a dating app.
Yeah.
Like, I know people that land in a city and they're using Tinder.
Do you know what, though? Maybe you aren't a good case study here, because you're a person... Firstly, you're handsome, and therefore you don't have to worry. No, do you know what I mean? Like, you can... You're also very confident, and you're also articulate. So you can... You can go out, have conversations, attract naturally, and be in. And you've got disposable income. You can buy dinner. You can do it. You're probably not a good case study to use here at all, because there are people who don't have, firstly, the looks, secondly, the confidence, thirdly, the articulation, and fourthly, the disposable income. They still want to meet people, but I do think it's damaging for them, because you say yes and no based purely on a face. It's hateful.
Crazy,
it's hateful.
Isn't it? That's actually,
it's actually crazy. Hateful. Like, if it wasn't virtual, it would be cruel, wouldn't it? I imagine it's how Genghis Khan
would
meet his suitors.
Still,
not her.
What's the best way then? Like, for a single man to meet someone, is it still just the
usual? If I was in the situation, and when I was in the situation, I think face to face is essential. This virtual world for it isn't for me at all, and I do think it's damaging. And I don't think that it works, because we spoke earlier. We've kind of come full circle here. Finding people with your interests isn't only a good thing. It isn't only good. There is so much to life. There are so many other opinions. There are so many other places. There are so many other experiences. Simply finding people who think the way you do. I like A, B, and C. She likes A, B, and C. Great, let's meet. Limiting. Is limiting, and for in terms of self-esteem, in terms of self-respect, in terms of everything like that, this is broader than simply dating apps, but social media is just an abomination of it. I use it every day, every day, because of work, and it has become so intrinsically linked to my income that I have no option. But you know, if I won a Euro Millions, and I have the little fantasy of winning the Euro Millions, you know, when people genuinely, what would you do if you won?
You're coming off Instagram immediately.
Do you know, it's one of the fantasies. Like, it's actually, there. Yeah. Like, so some of the I'd probably buy a nice house on the French Riviera in Antibes. I'd have a house in the south of France. So I fantasize about that, but I also fantasize about deleting my Instagram profile. I actually think, oh God, if I win the lottery, it'd be great, because I'll get to buy a house and delete Instagram. And delete Twitter. That's how damaging I think it is. And I won't have my kid on it. And I love the fact that my wife has it and probably goes on there once a week. Addy, if I'm honest with you, I'm addicted to social media.
It's bad. I've tried to limit
No, you're worse than me. You know when we were in America?
I'm worse than you.
I was like frustrated.
I'm worse than you because I'm single. So I'm on there.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm looking at Instagram almost like it's Tinder.
But mate, listen to how damaging maybe this is for you. To people who don't know this listening, Addy and I went to the States fairly recently. We went to the Super Bowl, and obviously we spent loads of time together. We had a wonderful time and had a fantastic company, but there was a big issue that used to drive me mad. We go out for dinner, And I'd be having a conversation with Addy, and the conversation would go kind of me to him. He wouldn't quite hear it because his eyes are glued to the phone. And it was a thing where I had to go, mate, I can't talk to you until you put the phone down.
Is that damaging our relationship?
Yeah. I mean, not long term, not irreparably, but at the time it was annoying. Yeah, of course it was. Yeah. But bearing in mind, I didn't have my phone in my hand, and I've just admitted to being totally addicted to social media. I don't know what you're playing at. If I'm telling you to put the phone down, you've got problems.
It's actually not as bad as that.
No,
it's not as bad. No,
it's just when you're in boring company.
You're boring, and I was like,
it's a reflection on the company.
It's your fault. But you know, the weirdest thing for me is, and maybe that's probably why I have been single since the ex, and that was like 4 years ago. And I'm like, I actually don't know where the right place is. 4 years ago, yeah.
That's way more recent than I thought.
Really?
I thought we were talking about a story a decade ago.
Oh, no, 4 years ago. Wait, yeah, 4 years. I left Nigeria in April 2018.
Mate, your turnaround is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't it?
It's not bad.
Okay, we need to have that conversation as well. The journey of Addy Oladipo. I need to hear more about that.
There is a YouTube video about it. Feel free to go to my social media.
Always getting it in, well played.
Plug.
But mate, I do think that whole
I miss
world.
Being in a relationship, though.
Do you?
Oh, immensely. This single world is nonsense for me. I just don't have the time for it. I don't have the time for the pretense of it all.
Well, like I do
the
agree
idea
with you.
Of getting dressed up all the time, having a fresh trim, and going out and drinking and spending
fresh
money. Got to trim the beard.
Oh.
And spending money. How dare you? That's got to be trimmed as well. The bald head's got to be trimmed as well. Spending money I don't really have.
I haven't had a fresh trim since 1986. I agree. Because you know all the best things about my day? Do you know ultimately what I do every day? I basically, I fly into London, I have a busy life, I do loads, but the priority is get home, get back to my house, see my kid before she goes to bed, and watch some TV and have dinner with my wife. That's basically the be all and end all of my day. And I know that you don't have that, but I couldn't quite imagine what the motivation is if you haven't got that. So I do understand what you're saying. Yeah. But other people, by the way, they would go, God, I've got to go home to the missus and you get to go out and...
Yeah. No one's ever happy.
I don't think so.
But you are.
I prefer... Oh, mate, I prefer so much.
I think you're a lot happier than me.
What, fundamentally?
Fundamentally, yeah. I feel like you've got it all sorted. I feel like I'm still trying to plug holes and fill gaps, yeah.
Mm.
Because I don't have that emotional side from a female.
Do you... not revel in the dating? Do you not find...
No, I absolutely can't stand it.
Aside from the moment, like I'm trying to see it from your...
You know what it is? I just go purely on looks.
When we were in the States...
I'm going purely on looks.
When we were in the States, we're sitting on that rooftop bar. I hope we can disclose.
We can, it's okay, yeah.
We're sitting
on the
rooftop bar.
It's okay, yeah.
Do you not potentially pity me in this situation? We're sitting at the top of this glorious bar in the
downtown LA.
Of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And these two very attractive girls come in. I went, hi, nice to meet you. I'm going to bed. See you later.
Yeah.
And you went, hi, nice to meet you. What would you like to drink? Do you not find, are you not pitying me there? Because a lot of people listening to this will definitely prefer your role in this story and the ending of this story, in fact, than my role in this story.
My role in that story cost me about $500.
Yeah, but you got loads of money. Well, made it.
I'm okay. Your role was, you know, a bed and probably a phone call from the missus.
Yeah.
My it's fun. It's fun for a couple of hours and that's exciting. But then, you know, the realization is I'm in LA and what are we going to do here? Bit of hanky panky, then what?
Actually, I think most people listening to this will think that If they had to pick a role there, Batman and Robin, you're Batman, I'm Robin.
Mm.
So I've gone, hey, lovely to meet you. Have a lovely night. Really, really, really enjoy yourself. Ta-da.
Mm.
Most people would rather be you.
I would rather be you.
I would rather be me.
I've done me for 4 years.
Times,
it's been 4 years and it's fun and I've done me and enough's enough. Time for a bit of fun now. You ready for this? You heard us talk about our lives for now. Interesting. Victoria, we've heard mentioned. I didn't even mention my ex's name, Demi. Let's give her some respect, eh?
Demi.
You know her surname.
You'll hear more from her soon.
You might see her as well a bit soon. All right, it's now time to hear about yours. We've been on the hunt to get some stories from our listeners and they did not disappoint. Rory, are you ready for this? All right, let's talk about this one. This is from Ben. This might be slightly strange, but on a first date, I always like to go to IKEA. My thinking is if we can cope with the stress of IKEA, followed by a nice chat over the meatballs, their meatballs are pretty good, then there is every possibility we can make it work.
This is horrific. IKEA. This is horrific.
Awful, isn't
it? No, I mean, not the IKEA. The not try and romance in IKEA. Surely, that first date, it's imperative that you get it spot on.
If you can get through IKEA, all the drama, all the nonsense, the pencils, the yellow bag, if you can get through all of that and still at the end of it be okay, then there might be hope.
If she is prepared to go to a first date to IKEA, I'd say she's not worth seeing.
Really?
Yeah. Ben? Like, nobody wins here. Ben shouldn't be proposing it, and the girl shouldn't be accepting it. Like, there is no... IKEA is a chore.
Mm.
A date is a gift.
You know what's a weird first date? Cinema. That used to be your banker.
When you're a kid, though.
You probably call it pictures, because you're that old.
When you're a kid.
Yeah.
But when you're a youngster, when you're 16, 15, you've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
You can't go to the pub. You've got no money.
It was relatively cheap.
Cinema.
Now, though, it's a weird one, because neither of you are speaking.
Yeah, no, I went.
It's a weird one.
I went to Titanic on a date. I went to Titanic.
Good choice. Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah, went to.
Oh, you won. You've won that date.
Yeah, the cinema in Finchley Road in the O2 Centre. I remember everything
that you
about
ran
it.
From, right?
No, not her. I was much younger then.
Oh, okay.
This was a girl from Kensal Rise called Natalie.
Hello, Natalie.
Yeah.
Right, next one from Joel. I'm not proud of this, but I met a girl once and honestly thought she was the one. After a year, I decided to take her home to meet my family. I'd never done this before, so this was a big step for me. This couldn't have gone more wrong. As we go inside, the girl takes just one look at my younger brother, turns and bolts straight back out the door.
Oh, God, I know where this is going.
Turns out my younger brother was also in a relationship with this girl, and they had been together for a number of months. I didn't go after her, and we never spoke again.
Oh, my God.
It can happen, by the way.
She's crazy.
It can happen.
No, but this girl is crazy.
What for? I thought you said, one second.
Well, she's embarking on two.
I thought you just said that girls don't do this.
I mean, I said, no, I gave you 1%, didn't I?
Yeah, oh, she's the one.
I gave you 1%.
1%.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I just don't know how people do it. Like, you know, the juggle, the energy. I was talking, I'm obviously not naming
anybody. It's
the
buzz.
I'm obviously not naming anybody here.
Yeah.
But a friend of both of ours was recently talking to me about the situation that they had.
Mm.
And he's a funny dude.
You're making me think of funny friends.
The amount of effort that he goes to, it blew my mind. The amount of juggling to keep multiple people in the dark and multiple people happy.
Mm.
I just honestly don't know how you do it. I don't know how people have the energy. It's almost, on some perverse level, I kind of find it quite inspiring.
To have the ability and
drive and energy. Because it must take, like, keeping one household happy is...
No, but you're talking about properly cheating it. So you're talking about, you know,
yeah,
having
split
lives.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
Mm.
I'm just talking about the guy that lives at home with his missus.
No, but this girl's got two lives because she's got two boyfriends that think they're the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds awful. Like, she also, somebody far more clever and intelligent than me will have to diagnose this. But it also sounds insane. Don't you think? Don't you think that's mental?
No.
You think it's cool?
No, I just think it happens. I think it happens a lot.
But does
more
it happen?
Do.
Is it not the behaviour of a lunatic?
Yes.
It's a nutty move.
Mm.
Just pick your favourite, man. It's like it's like your football team, isn't it? Just pick your favourite and devote your life to it.
All right, next one. This is from Scott. I'm someone who normally doesn't get much attention. Who wrote this? What, Scott? Sadly, the attention I get on Tinder seems to be mostly from very odd characters. The strange interaction I've had was recently when a woman offered to buy me trainers in return for an intimate video. I've not been on the app since. Let's read that again. One second.
No, don't.
The strangest interaction I've had recently was when a woman offered to buy me trainers in return for an intimate video. I've not been on the app since. What?
Mate.
Give me the trainers.
What? But you're going to have to do something lewd on the web.
Not on the web.
Yeah, on the web.
Privately send her a video.
Yeah, but that you never heard of
you
a screen record. What, are there? Are you open to that?
I'm open.
Mate, there's some terrible things like that, you know.
That's crazy, mate. That's
you
crazier
heard of,
things than that.
Are you aware of OnlyFans?
Yes, I am. You know how much money can be made?
Do you know my friend's on it?
Yeah.
But she's been very candid with me. I mean, we could bring her on here one day.
That'd be fantastic. How much do you think she's making?
She told me. I won't say it. She can tell you.
Right.
But it's more than me and you combined.
Combined?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Honestly. She's bought herself a house in a really affluent part of London. Think about the cost of living in London. And I won't say the area, but you know the southwest London pocket that is very beautiful and very sought after. She bought herself a house.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally
OnlyFans as a whole,
thousands of pounds a day. It's mental. It's mental.
What is?
But she does speak very openly about it. So she may come on and have this chat with us.
Yeah, because I'd love to know how someone could want to be in a relationship with someone that's on OnlyFans.
She, I believe, again, she'll have to tell us, but I think she actually lost her relationship.
Because of it.
Yeah. She was in a relationship.
It's almost like those people that are in relationships with porn stars. I've always wondered.
Do you know, I met one.
A porn star?
I met both. I met a porn star and I met the husband.
How did you know she was a porn star?
No, she's a famous porn star. Okay.
How did you know she was a famous porn star?
The story goes, you know, I do the True Geordie.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He's had a porn star on the website. Mm. Sorry, he's had a porn star on the podcast. They were filming after I was filming. So I'd done my show. The show ended. She's turned up with the husband. I was like transfixed at how weird and pathetic he must be as a man. You know, like, I was just like, you are not a man. How can you be okay with everything? Because also, you know, like the levels of porn. Yeah, like there's a spectrum, isn't there? There's like, there's porn and then there's like porn. I saw a video from this girl. Oh my God. Mate, it actually like disturbed me. It's distressing.
You wouldn't, as a normal dude, be able to compete.
Mate. I don't care about competing. You can't do that. You know, if there's ever, and this is how I feel about sex generally, you know, if there's like more than two penises in the room, I'm out. I never ever want to see an erect penis that isn't my own. And I don't massively want to see my own, but I have no choice. This girl, there was like 10 in the room. And I met the fella. And the fella's just like, hey, man, like American. I'm just looking at him. I was like, bro.
Crazy.
You are mental.
Crazy. You know what I want to end this conversation on? It's a question. It's a tough one. Yeah, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm geared up. I'm poised.
What would you do if Victoria ever cheated?
I would go crazy. I would go, I would be uncontrolled.
Would you guys be together
still? No, fuck.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. But neither was she. Yeah. She would adopt this very similar. I would be horrific. My view on life, I view the world like people viewed the world in 1958.
You are like that, by the way. You do know that.
Yeah. It's 2022 here. But my house is 1958.
Okay.
And no. But she would be exactly the same.
Okay.
She would not. She's a very liberal person.
Mm.
But not insane.
What about, I'm pushing the boundaries here now.
Go for it. You just started putting your hand through your head, stressing you out
a little bit. What if you found you're speaking to someone? So not cheating. Well, that might be classed as cheating.
It would depend on the words. It would depend on what was being said.
Okay.
But no, but you can cheat without, you can cheat without sleeping with someone. Yeah. And if she did that, again, the relationship would be over. And she knows that. And she would be exactly the same about me.
Mm.
But yeah, zero tolerance. You?
I think I could.
Could you?
I think I could.
You pathetic, man.
I think I could. Remember, I'm not in 1958. I'm in 2022.
What, you could forgive that?
I think I could. You know what it is? You know what it is, cock. I think it's because, not the physical.
Couldn't
forgive the physical.
Not the physical.
Yeah, but I could forgive the non-physical, the conversation. I think I could. Because
Hang on, is there not an argument for this?
Go on.
The non-physical.
Could be worse.
Because it's emotional. Mm. There is something sort of more, less invested in sex. Look, I'm saying nothing's okay. Mm. Nothing. But there is something less in. There is less investment in sex. It happened. I was drunk.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when they...
A connection. Texting each other while you're sitting there watching the telly. She's texting another. Not a chance.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
All right, now you've heard us chat about all this relationship stuff. It is time now to get someone who really knows what they're talking about. Lucy Beresford, a psychotherapist and relationship expert. She joins us right now. Lucy, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very, very much. What is a relationship expert? What does that entail?
Well, I studied psychotherapy and all of my clinical work is around working with people one-to-one. And that means that I'm really exploring the relationships that they have in the world. So I've got 22 years of experience of that. And I'm a human being. So I have relationships myself, not just, you know, sexual and intimate ones, but relationships with colleagues and pets and school children and classmates and what have you. So in many ways, we're all relationship experts, but we worry that we're not. We always worry that everybody else knows so much more than we do. And sometimes it just takes one other person to say something and you think, that's what I've been thinking. That's what I've always suspected. So the chances are you know more than I do.
I doubt that very much. I really do. You know, you only think of specifically relationships and sort of the way like social media has now played a part and apps being involved in relationships, dating apps. How have you noticed a change in relationships over the last sort of, say, 15 to 20 years?
The biggest observation is heightened anxiety, I think. Social media does a number of things. It gives you the impression that everyone else is having a great relationship because that's invariably the only thing that they post. So if you're sitting there and you're single or you're heartbroken or you're in a very difficult relationship, you're being presented, perhaps even bombarded with messages and updates that might reinforce this sense that everybody else is having a great time and you're not. I think there's also another element to it, which is that social media has often made certain elements of cheating a bit easier. And we call this sometimes micro-cheating. So if you were in a relationship with someone who was always liking other people's photos, particularly photos maybe taken by people that they might conceivably be romantically interested in, that could really exacerbate any kind of jealousies or insecurities that you might have. So my worry about social media is that as amazing as it is, and you and I are both on Twitter and we use social media a lot, but actually it can really intensify whatever insecurities already exist. They make them more apparent, more florid, and harder to deal with. And that's why sometimes actually what I say to couples is, just switch your phones off more regularly than you do, because you're not going to be bombarded with this extra information that you've got to process in addition to dealing with your relationship.
Do you think, Lucy, that it's now more difficult to meet somebody because of social media? Like in theory, it's something that makes it easier. You know, Tinder makes life easier to meet people. But I think that because of its availability, it makes it very difficult because there's so much choice out there.
Absolutely. It makes it easier to connect in one way. I mean, you can go on a dating app and start a conversation 5 minutes later, whereas in the past, you would have to get dressed up, get on the tube, go into a pub, walk into that pub on your own, or go to a party, or go to a wedding, or go into the office and start, you know, fancying somebody in the other cubicle to you. But I think social media makes it both very easy to make very superficial connections, but it makes it harder to make deeper connections. And we do run that risk of thinking, well, if this doesn't work, you know, there are not more plenty more fish in the sea, but zillions more fish in the sea. Because I could be on an app and I might start chatting to someone who lives in South America, or they live in, you know, in Japan, and that's still possible. And I might end up having a long-term relationship, but am I making a real connection? Now, for some people, actually the thought of going to a party or striking up a conversation in a bar, or even getting to know somebody that you might be working with, I mean, obviously some workplaces discourage that, but it is the fact that quite a lot of people do meet their future partners in the workplace. If you could actually spend time chatting online to someone first and reveal a little bit about you and a little bit, find out a little bit more about them, then maybe actually that would solve a lot of problems for people. It might make dating easier, but I always say it doesn't really matter what you do online. It really matters how the relationship progresses once you meet in real life. And of course, with social media, you can dump someone by text, you can ghost them by blocking them on Instagram. There are some pretty cruel ways in which social media can really exacerbate some of the problems that dating already has inherently within it, but it just happens in the blink of an eye.
Lucy, we were talking about Tinder. Obviously, that seems to be the sort of the number one dating app that everyone knows. And there was a crazy stat on there about 30% of the users on Tinder are married. So I guess the next question would be, do these apps sort of encourage infidelity? Are they kind of open to let people go on there, or people jumping on there thinking, you know what, regardless of my situation, I'm still going to go and use these apps?
Yes, I mean, I think it's fair to say that infidelity did exist before social media and apps. That's the funny wrinkle of human activity, which is that a lot of people become dissatisfied with the relationships that they're in. And obviously, there are also married dating websites like Ashley Madison, for example, that cater to a particular demographic that want to be a little bit more transparent about the fact that they are in a primary relationship, but they want something else. But absolutely, the problem with any kind of dating encounter is that, and in fact, this could happen in any relationship, a sort of work relationship or a clinical relationship, you've got no guarantee that somebody is being truthful, that someone is being completely transparent with you. And therefore, just because it's very easy to meet somebody on Tinder, you should always take as much care as if you had met somebody at a wedding. So, you know, you might meet someone at a wedding and think, well, they must be okay because my friend invited them to their wedding. So then, you know, I've got that kind of corroborative effect that they must be okay. But that's not necessarily the case. You must always protect yourself in all sorts of ways, whether that's obviously in terms of contraception or just being a bit streetwise, that just because you're meeting someone, if it seems too good to be true, that maybe that's because it is.
What would you say? Is there still sort of a place, like a number one place you think to meet someone? You know, like we mentioned sort of 30 years ago, you could just maybe go into the pub or through the workforce. Is that still the best way? Or do you think that these apps are catching up, that people are now finding love on these apps? Or do you still think it's kind of, you know, for a friend, you know, at the workplace where you maybe get to know them before you jump into a relationship with them? Is there a number one that stands out?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I have several friends who are extremely happily married, having met online, and they've been married for 6, 7, 8 years. You know, we're not talking just recently, and therefore we don't know what's going to happen. And it worked for them. And in one particular case, the website was mysinglefriend.com. And I was the friend that kind of presented my friend. But I remember that for him, because he was at a certain age in his life, he had almost made it his mission. Instead of saying, I need to change my job and I get my CV sorted out and this is my ambition, it was like, I need to be in a relationship. But for other people, I know that they find the whole, they find the fact that everybody who's on the app is looking for a relationship quite intimidating. It feels, everyone is kind of like an Exocet missile, heat seeking you out, zoning. They've got their special questions and they've got the chat, and it doesn't feel quite so organic. And for those people, the preference is to be in a queue. I mean, it happened actually to me last night. I was in a queue for the recording of a live podcast. And therefore, everybody in the queue was interested in the topic. And people were just sparking up conversations because everybody was there with one passion in mind. You know, they either liked film or they liked the hosts or they were quite keen to see a podcast recorded. Whatever it was, you were suddenly surrounded by people who've got a like-minded interest. And the conversation was a little bit more organic and it flowed a bit more freely. And as a result, people prefer that. Some people prefer that because it feels it goes at a pace that they can assimilate and it doesn't go too quickly. But for other people, dating sites work really well because what they want that quick fix. Different people take relationships at a different pace, and therefore there's no one size fits all, thankfully.
Do you think that would be the piece of advice then, Lucy? If you were thinking about trying to partner with somebody that were going to inspire you, and you were finding the dating world fairly difficult to navigate, get amongst people where you have a similar interest. If you had to give one piece of advice, say to Addy, who's desperately searching for love, would that be how you would do your best to find it?
I would say take the pressure off, and instead of saying, got to go on as many dates as possible, got to meet as many women or men as possible, it is about saying, what do I want? Who do I want to be? Where do I show up as my best self? Is it when I do my cordon bleu cooking at home? Is it when I'm watching a movie? Is it when I'm listening to my favorite band? Is it when I go bell ringing? Put yourself in those spaces as much as possible, partly because then you will just have really lovely experiences. Oh, I'm doing this thing I really love. I love cooking. I love listening to music. I love reading about current affairs. And as a result, you show up as your best self. And the energy suddenly changes. You're no longer this desperate person on the hunt. This is my own perspective. You're not that desperate person looking for something. You're showing up for yourself. You're showing up and loving yourself first. And it's amazing how other people will find you. Other people will find you when you are in that different zone, that different energy, which is not to say that you won't find someone online. It's just about making sure that the energy matches. Do I really want to be with this person because they bring out the best in me rather than because I'm just terrified of being alone?
Final question, Lucy. Really appreciate you coming on. As I said, you know that phrase, never go back. Like, everyone says that once you've split up with an ex, I never go back. It's almost like it's a no entry zone. Would you kind of give that phrase sort of its own point, or would you say, you know, you can go back sometimes? And if you can go back, what advice would you give to someone that wants to go back? This is not me, by the way. This is just hypothetical.
Put it this way, Lucy. Nah. It's one of us, and I'm married.
No, we've got a couple of producers in the room. It could be them as well.
Exactly, it could be Lucy, the other Lucy. I'm going to be very honest and say that my views have changed on this.
Ooh.
I used to be very much of the view, and I still think that this can be the case in most situations, which is that they're an ex for a reason. Something happened, whether it was an ongoing thing or an abrupt betrayal, that actually there is a reason why they became an ex. And perhaps moving on is about taking responsibility for yourself and treating yourself with respect. But actually, relationships are very complicated things. And sometimes you can form a connection with someone and it's just too important and the work isn't done. And going back to them might not mean that you'll be with them forever and ever, but there may be some unfinished business. Just tread carefully. And obviously, if it was an abusive relationship and you're unable, and one is unable to let go of that because it's just triggering old wounds and you can't break free, that is clearly a different situation if you're in a coercively controlling relationship. Do your best to surround yourself with enough people to say, you're worth more than this, time to step on. But I do think that in a way, you never want to lie on your deathbed and say, I wonder if I'd tried, if I just put myself out there one more time, even if I just, you know, that lovely scene in Love Actually, which is I think is a really great film, even though it ends up being people's worst film. But there is that moment where he stands in front of her and says, say it's carol singers. But what if you were to go to the person that you really still love and just say, I just want to ask you one more time, is it possible? At least you'll know. At least you'll know.
If she has any sense,
say absolutely not.
I'm on a plane to Nigeria right now. This is fantastic stuff. This is what I needed to hear from you, Lucy. Great. I'm not listening to Rory and his views. I'm listening to the relationship expert. And that was poetry. That was poetry. Yeah. Lucy, honestly, we can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been great to hear from you and your viewpoints as well. Some good stuff there. Some really good stuff. It's a difficult world to navigate, relationships.
And I think it's about remembering that sometimes there is no right answer, that we just can only ever do the best we can. And I'm not suggesting that we beg, and I'm not suggesting that we diminish ourselves and demean ourselves in order to kind of turn ourselves into a pretzel to fit the other person. But sometimes you just have to say, what do I want? I want to give it one last shot. I want to walk away now and give myself the chance of a new life. Whatever your choice is, ultimately, I'm not going to judge you. Rory's not going to judge you. Other people listening to this podcast, just remember, this isn't about judging. It's just about being led by the heart. Don't be led by fear. Be led by love.
You are very, very good. I honestly, you really are. Lucy, again, thank you so much. Look, thank you so much as well for joining us. Remember, you can listen to us all the time. We've got some really great episodes coming up as well. Make sure you download our podcast from wherever you download your podcast from, whether it be Spotify or Apple, and make sure you follow us as well.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.